Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God.
So good to have you here. Appreciate you being here. So, go
ahead. Wow, praise God. Hallelujah. Say Jesus! Say hallelujah! You know what? I want to just thank God for this house. This church is being a blessing to so many. You guys are making a big difference. I speak for many people, and Pastor Dave, thank you so much. I don't just call him a pastor. He's a father. And I want to thank this house. I want to thank the board. I want to thank the elders, the worship team, the technical team. You guys were such a huge blessing to us. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, before I introduce, oftentimes we pray for things, but we don't always recognize when the Lord is answering our prayers. Yesterday, I realized there was something unique God had done, because yesterday, while we were in the Oaks Garden Theater, the technician for the city was being emotional as Pastor Anish ministered yesterday. You know, we had a time to get out of that place, 5 p.m., but while we're rushing to leave, he says, no, just let him keep going, let him keep going. But then he said to me, being emotional, the technician who happens to be a Christian, he said, in 28 years serving the city of Niagara Falls, he had never seen a Christian event done in the Oaks Garden Theater before. Come on. And then, of course, Pastor Dave had mentioned that this house has been praying since the 80s. You know, oftentimes we pray for revival. We pray for a move of the Spirit, but we don't always recognize when the Lord shows up powerfully. I believe today is a divine, it's not a coincidence, but it's a divine providence, divine appointment set for this day by Holy Spirit. So, I want to just honor here my friend, my brother, Vilpi. He pastors in Bahrain. He's also a psalmist, a worship leader, and he's an anointed man of God. Can we just welcome him to Canada? God bless you, sir. Pastor Anish, who pastors Hope in Jesus Ministries International. What I love about this man is, you know, there are some people that you like them, but you don't really understand what it means to love them. I love this man, and I like this man. Let me tell you what happened. Last year, my dear brother here, Pastor Jiju, and where's Brother Jiju? Where is he? Okay. Pastor Jiju and his lovely wife, Shiny, can we just say thank you? Welcome, guys. So, my friends, I love revival stories. I love revival. I've read about the 1857 revival that came out of Hamilton, the Brownsville revival in Florida, the Azusa Street revival, the Welsh revival, all this move of the Spirit, the Asbury revival. We were in that revival in Asbury. But there's a revival that really touched my heart. Oftentimes, when we talk about revival, we think about the West. We forget that the same Holy Ghost moving here in North America, moving in Europe, is also moving in places like India. So last year, my friend there, Brother Jiju, he reached out to me because they have a ministry that travels across Canada praying for revival. He said, Brother Solomon, I'm going to India, Bangalore. I had never heard about Bangalore before. I know India because India has about, I think, with China, the biggest population in the world, billions of people. He's going to India. He says there's revival in India in a place called Bangalore. Now, I understand revival because we were part of the Asbury revival that was amazing, that touched thousands of people. So he sent me the link. I began to watch what God was doing in Bangalore, India, in Pastor Anish's ministry. Now, the story goes like this. The Holy Spirit had told them to pray for a visitation from the Holy Ghost for some years. He's going to correct me where I'm wrong in this story. As they began to pray, the Lord would show up in a very surprising way to his church. And it was a revival that many around the world streamed to watch it, including myself. And I told our team, pay attention to Bangalore, India. I'm a big believer that when the Lord is doing something in different parts of the world, if you tap into that move of the Spirit, it's going to come to where you are. So today, I want to just thank God for this incredible man of God who has been a blessing to our nation. Last year, he was visiting the United States, and Brother Jiju encouraged him to apply for visa to Canada. If you know how that works, it's not easy. And he got visa to our nation. But I believe this was God saying, Canada, see, pay attention. Canada has called to bring healing to the nations. But time to time, God brings apostolic voices from around the nations here to Canada to bring a blessing to us. But before we step into our call to bring healing to the nations, I believe in this hour, God is healing Canada. This is why when I say with passion, before I introduce Pastor Anisha to the stage, just say with me with passion, Canada belongs to Jesus. Say with me, say Canada belongs to Jesus. Canada shall be saved in Jesus' name. Pastor Anish, welcome to Canada again. We love you. We honor you. We thank God for the grace in your life. And he's a friend of our nation. You know, just to be sure here, we ought to look at the fruit and we ought to test the spirit. This is a man that is not only after God's own heart, but after God's own spirit. His sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is one of the things I love the most about him. So the same Jesus moving in Bangalore, India, is also present here today at Lighthouse Church in Jesus' name. Pastor Anish, please welcome. And God bless you. Welcome to Canada, VOP. I love you, man. God bless you. Thank you.
He is here. Jesus Christ is already here. Be with great expectation. None of you are going to walk back after the service the way that you walked in. Something new, something wonderful, something glorious is happening already in our lives. It's already happening. It's already happening. It's already happening. Jesus is here. It's already happening in many people's lives. It's already happening. Jude, verse number 24. There's only one chapter in the epistle of Jude. Verse number 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This morning I want to talk to you about the presence of his glory. If you could look at your neighbor and say, the presence of his glory. The reason why many of us started crying and moving in the spirit is not because somebody preached the word, because we didn't start preaching the word. The presence of his glory is already in this place. And when it manifests, we become emotional because there is intimacy in that relationship. A true man is really emotional, not in his office, not in his workplace, not when he is with the children. A true man is very emotional when he is in the bedroom with his wife in an intimate moment, because that's the real man. And the Bible says there is an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Paul calls it as knowing God. Paul, after all these wonderful years of ministry, he says, I still want to continue knowing him. The Greek word used in the Bible for knowing God is the same word that is used for a sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. That's the depth of the understanding of knowing God. It is not knowing God with our intellect. It is not knowing God with our understanding. It is not knowing God with the theology which is written and which we all study. It is knowing God as a person, very intimate with us. That's why the Bible says, draw nearer and I will draw even more nearer to you. Amen. This morning, many of you are going to draw more to His presence, the presence of His glory. An intimate relationship is going to be birthed out. You might have been born in a Christian family like me. My last name is Stephen. I am born and brought up in a Christian family. For generations, we are Christians. But that didn't do me any good until when I was 10, when I started an intimate relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. Today I am in my mid-40s and I am thanking God that all these years He is very close to me. His heart is very close to me. And I am walking. The Holy Spirit is helping me with all His grace and mercy not to move away from Him, but to be in one with Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord Jesus Christ, when He was in this world, He said, those who have the Holy Spirit become one with the Lord. Paul says they become one with the Lord. This morning I am saying, no more individual lives, no more lonely lives, no more living a life on our own desires, but it is all about Him living in us. It is all about Him living through us, and it is all about we living for Him. And if you believe with me, you can lift up your hands and say an amen and an amen. Do you love Jesus? Do you want more of Jesus? Pastor Solomon was talking about the Pensacola revival. It happened between 1995 and 2000 in Brownsville Assemblies of God Church in Pensacola, Florida. As a kid, I used to watch all those revivals because in India, we used to get the VCRs, the video cassette players, and then we used to watch. You know what is the song that they sang every day when they came together for revival? This was the song that they sing. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words could say. We need you more than ever before. We need you more. We need you more. We need you more.
More than yesterday.
This is what they used to sing. And as they sang, suddenly there was an outpour of the Holy Spirit. We get so busy in our lives that sometimes we need God only on Sundays. Sometimes we need God only when there is an issue in our life. Sometimes we need God when we really need help. But as a born-again believer, as a child of God, I would request everyone to have this prayer, to have God more than anything else in your life. So the word presence is amazing in the Bible. The word presence, and the Hebrew word used is pani, P-A-N-I-Y-M. Pani means the face of God. So the moment you see in the Bible the presence of God, immediately understand it is face. When face is written, it denotes an identity of a person. You identify me because of my face. I walk into the immigration in Canada and the immigration system identifies my face and it shows my name. It is very interesting, right? I'm not a citizen in Canada. I'm not a resident in Canada. I'm coming all the way from India. But all you need to do is stand there, smile, and then it says, welcome, Stephen, to Canada. How did it know it? Because it is identifying a person by the face. And Paul says the word pani means the face of Jesus Christ. That is why Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. This morning, I'm encouraging you, may our eyes lift up and see the beautiful face of Jesus. I'm not talking about a picture or representation of Jesus. I'm talking about a person, Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon, Evangelist Solomon, saw us on the media when revival was happening and he was tuned to it. But when I came to Canada for the first time, he came running to meet me. That's when we met face to face. That was very different from what we probably knew through the media. The relationship grew, the relationship became stronger. We did a fantastic conference recent in Hamilton. And then when the Lord spoke to him to have revivers again in Niagara, he immediately said, you should come, Pastor. You know why? Because now it is just not a face-to-face media communication. It is a hand-to-hand living together. Amen. Communication in the body of Christ. I am telling you, you are going to walk out with the person Jesus after this service. You will see him living in your life. You will see him living with you. You will see him in all the areas of life. It is going to be very different in all your life. I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was only 12 years. I'm a pastor's son. I grew up in the church. It's only today that I preach in the church. Initial days, sitting outside, welcoming greetings, operating the sound, lights, the mixers, playing keyboard, leading the worship. This is how we grew up. But when I was in my late 20s, I started an understanding the power of revivals. I started praying, Lord, use me for revival in my nation, India. I was working for an American software company called as Oracle, which has its headquarters based in California, San Francisco, Redwood Shores. So all doors were opening for me and my family to come to the United States, settle down, and become an American citizen, like how many of my friends are today. But when I started praying for revival, the Holy Spirit told me, I will use you for revival first in India, and from India to nations, you will carry this revival. I prayed along with my wonderful wife. She is also a daughter of a pastor. We both are blessed to be pastor's children. And we prayed together and we took a decision, come what may, however our career goes forward, we want to stay back in India, which has 1.5 billion people, which means one out of every human being in the whole world is an Indian now. In other words, Jesus will never come back until there is a great revival in the nation of India. Because if that happens, the work of Jesus on the cross will not be profitable to heaven. If the work of Jesus has to be profitable on the cross, India has to be touched, China has to be touched. And I thank God for all the missionaries who came from the Western nations, all the churches who sponsored and supported the work of God in India and China. May God bless America and Canada and UK for doing that. And I believe this is a season where the Holy Spirit is preparing the body of Christ, the bride, to be a glorious one. That is why Jude writes, may the one who is able to make you stand faultless before the glory of his presence. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Almighty God. I kept on praying. I became a pastor when I was only 27. Kept on praying for revival for many years. And in the month of April last year, we were having a 21 days of fasting and praying in our church. So most of our church people are IT engineers, software engineers, doctors. So they all have to go for work. So they come, pray in the morning, work, come in the night, again we pray. On the 18th day of our fasting and praying, close to 70 people were praying. Suddenly, there was a mighty downpour of the Holy Spirit in our church. Already we are a church sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As Solomon said, I'm very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I always want to hear and do only what he says. Only then you can sustain as a minister of the gospel of Jesus. Otherwise you will become a traditional preacher. Even yesterday, we had absolutely no plans and schedules. We were moving by the Holy Spirit. Solomon was asking me, Pastor, when do you want the stage? The Lord told me, from 3:30 to 4:30, you minister, I will touch the hearts of people. Though I was in that venue from 11 o'clock, I didn't want to minister. A couple of people came and said, Pastor, you minister now. I didn't want. It is not that I didn't know how to preach more. I can't preach for 5-6 hours because in India our services run for 6 hours. So we are used to it. We can. But the Lord said 3:30. Solomon came at 3 and said, come, let's go. I said, 3:30. He came at 3:10. Let's go. I said, 3:30. He sent Wilfie at 3:20. I said, 3:30. Because the sensitiveness to Holy Spirit is very much needed. So we were a church sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But the downpour on April 18th was not like what we experienced all the previous years. It was very heavy presence that we couldn't go home. Can you believe I started sleeping in my church? 2 hours a day. 2.5 hours a day. Day and night meetings went on for close to 100 days. Revival. Nobody is going home. People are sleeping in the church for 2 hours, 1 hour. Nobody is able to leave that place because of the presence of His glory. I'm telling you, it is very true. It is very true. My children sleeping in the church, my wife in the church, we're not feeling hungry. We're not feeling to do anything else other than to be in the presence and say, day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night,
night and day, let incense arise.
The IT engineers of our church started bringing the laptops. They are working and in the presence. Of course, the doctors cannot work like that. They had to put holidays. 100 days non-stop in the church. I grew up as a technical boy in my church because my father is a pastor. There are cameras running here. I can challenge you, these cameras and systems will not run if you don't switch it off at least after a few days or hours. Do you know our cameras ran for 75 days without break? Internet streaming was live on YouTube and Facebook without break for 75 days. The keyboards are not getting switched off. The electronic systems are not getting switched off. The air conditioning is not getting switched off. 75 days it went on a stretch. You know why? In the Bible, when a rod was kept in the presence of His glory, the rod, which is a non-living thing, it bud and it blossomed. Whose rod was it? Aaron's rod in the presence near the Ark of Covenant. Non-living things even can feel the presence of God, whether you believe
Amen.
It or not.
Yes.
In the Bible, it is like that. It is like that. Even non-living things experience the presence. That revival went to 100 days. We had people coming from many nations. 3 million people watched the revival on YouTube. I asked our church media team to send an email to YouTube saying that, record this in history, 3 million people watching it non-stop. 24/7 live streaming is happening. 24/7. I believe you're all part of the media. That wonderful brother who led the worship, I'm sure he's part of media. Brother, do you think the systems will run for 75 days without switching it off? It won't. It won't. These are all mechanical systems. It won't. But when the presence of His glory comes, the life is very different. Pastor, do you have an example in the Bible? I have an example in the Bible. When God called the people out of Egypt, when the Exodus started, there was the presence of His glory in the form of pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. They had non-living things like the sandals and the clothes that they wore. 40 years they walked. You know what happened? 40 years they never changed the sandals because the non-living things started behaving differently in the presence of God. Imagine if there was a... Come on, give glory to Jesus. Imagine at the beginning when they were crossing the Red Sea, if there was a baby boy like Jehoshaphat born with a hat. And he starts walking. Now we are carrying him. He starts walking. After 40 years when he's like me, his shoe size will not be the same. Read the Bible. They didn't change their sandals. Shoes grew in the presence of His glory. The clothes grew in the presence of His glory. This is what the power of presence of glory can do. Jesus. Today the same miracle may not repeat because we have the facilities to buy shoes. But there is something which the presence of God needs, is our soul and our spirit. Because we became a living soul in the presence of the Almighty God. So the moment the presence departs from us, the daughter-in-law of Eli, the priest in the time of Samuel, said, Ichabod, which means the presence is gone. You know why many churches are declining these days? I went to UK, United Kingdom, in England. I was sad to see, my heart broke. You know what is the cost of being churches sold? £1. £1 is close to maybe $2 of Canada. For $2, beautiful churches like this are being sold because there is no people there. What happened? Is it that they didn't have the Bible? Is it that they were not able to read the Bible? Is it not they were not taught the Bible? They knew everything because Bibles came from the United Kingdom. The King James Version, it came from the United Kingdom. What went wrong? The presence of His glory left the church. And people didn't know. They had all the names. Stephen, Paul, Peter, so on. But the presence is not there. I am praying, may that not repeat in a nation like Canada. May it not happen in a place like Niagara. May it not happen in Lighthouse in this place. May this place be really a lighthouse to the body of Christ. According to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse number 1, 2 and 3. May the Holy Spirit help you to arise and shine, because the glory of the Lord is upon you. Because the presence of the Lord is upon you. Revival changed our church. We had less than 200 people worshiping in our church on Sundays. Today, God blessed our church with a fantastic facility where 1,000 people can sit and worship. Every Sunday, 5 services are running. Few months back when I was praying, the Lord told me, get ready to have 100,000 believers in your church. That's what the presence can do. That's what the glory can do. I am believing when the presence increases in our churches, when the presence increases in our personal life, when the presence increases in our family, all these seats will be full. We will have to go for double services, 3 services, because revival hitting Niagara will make all the churches in Niagara full by the power of the Almighty God. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. What do you mean by the presence of God in reality? The presence of God in reality means Jesus being with you always and you sensing that always. By God's grace, I've been ministering for maybe close to 20 years. But every time before I come onto the stage, I always tell the Lord, Lord, please help me. You have to co-minister with me. I will just stand there. But you have to stand so close as a person. It is not just about the emotional experiences. It is about feeling Him as a person. Last weekend, before that, we were ministering in Dallas in a church. And there was a mighty man of God sitting there. Suddenly the presence was moving and we both were ministering. And this mighty man of God saw Jesus standing right next to me. And it is not about the speaker alone. It's about all of your individual lives. Jesus. When you get into your car, when you are at home, when you are at your workplace, when there is storms in your life, you wouldn't be just blindfolded. Your eyes will start to see the person, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you're not saying an amen. You would ask me, Pastor, is it possible? In the New Testament, when God opened the eyes of Paul, even when he was in the prison, Paul writes, I saw Jesus coming down and telling me and strengthening me to suffer the things that I was going through. If Paul could see Jesus, We who are living as part of the new covenant like Paul will have to see Jesus for sure. Not when we reach eternity in this place, because the face of Jesus means the presence of God. Joshua 1:5, the presence of God is comforting you and strengthening you in times of anxiety and disparity. When you go through troubles, discouragement, the presence of God is very important in your life. As Pastor Dave said, he doesn't know much about me, so he can't introduce me, so I have to talk. God has blessed me with a wonderful family, and I have 4 children for the glory of God. 3 wonderful girls and 1 precious son. When I got married, I prayed, God, give me daughters. Because I grew up only with brothers. All my siblings are brothers. We never had a sister. So because of my liking for a sister, I prayed, God, give me daughters. So my elder one, the first one, is a daughter. And apparently, September, God willing, we both are ministering together in the United States. The elder one is a daughter. So the second time when my wife became pregnant, I was so happy. I started praying, Lord, give me 1 more daughter. That's when the doctor said, you're going to have twins. I was excited. Wow, that's a double blessing. So give me 2 daughters. But my church people are smarter than me, so they had a greater vision. So they started thinking, one day our pastor is going to get old. And if at all he's not able to minister like this, we need his son to minister like anyone. You know, Indian people think like that. I'm not sure about Canada, but in India people think like that. The son will continue the legacy of the father, which is biblical also. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim. You see all those wonderful boys continuing the legacy of their father. So I prayed, Lord, give me 2 girls. Now the church prayed, give boys. God heard both the prayers. 1 boy and 1 girl was born. I and my elder daughter at the hospital, we were extremely happy. Of course, my wife was in pain, but we were not in pain. We were extremely happy. I was looking at my boy, I was looking at my girl, and myself and my elder daughter, we were rejoicing seeing what God did. But our joy was short-lived when the doctor called me and said, Pastor, she was a Catholic doctor. Pastor, we suspect your daughter is a deaf girl. My heart broke. I couldn't understand what was happening. I asked the Lord, Lord, I have left my big job. I am serving you as a pastor. Is this the gift and the reward that you give me? Suddenly I heard a voice, John 11:40. If you believe, you shall see my glory in your presence. Days went by. She was unable to hear. I kept on believing in the presence of His glory. I took a decision. I will not take her and treat her in the hospital. Because I believe, I'm not against anyone working in a hospital or going to hospitals. But I believe hospitals can cure. Jesus can make us whole. The word whole means perfect, perfect, perfect. Hospitals can treat us, but nobody can make us perfect. But in His presence, there is perfection. I kept on believing. So she was unable to hear. My son was picking up everything. Only if you look at her face and speak, she will try to smile. If you call her from behind, she would never turn back. One day when I came back after a conference, my daughter was sitting facing the other side and playing. I stood behind her and I called her name, Prisca. For the first time in her life, she turned back and she looked at me. And so what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Everything to God in prayer.
Yes. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. what needless pain we are bearing. Every needless pain is going away this morning. Healings are coming because we have a privilege to carry everything to Jesus. Us we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Today, my daughter is 11 years. She speaks beautifully. She sings beautifully. She's my caretaker today. You know, every day I get ready for the service. Even in Canada, I have to send her a picture. And then she will look at my hairstyle, my dress, and only if she says, okay, I can preach. What a blessed, blessed, blessed Jesus. Just thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord. Some of you are receiving miracles right now. Some of you are receiving right now. Receiving. Any people with hearing issues, just lift up your hand. Jesus wants to heal you. Anyone with hearing issues, just stand if possible. Just stand. Those who lifted their hands. And people who are nearby, just lay your hands on them and pray, because the Lord is healing them right now. The Holy Spirit is healing them right now. Holy Spirit, pray, pray, pray. Release healings in the name of Jesus. The Church of Jesus is a place of healing. The Church of Jesus is a place of His presence.
Thou art welcome in this place.
Welcome the Holy Spirit onto their bodies.
Holy Spirit,
the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Thou art welcome.
When the Holy Spirit comes, every imperfections will go. And perfections is coming. The ears are opening in the name of Jesus.
Holy Spirit,
Thou art welcome.
Thou art welcome in this place.
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace.
Thou art welcome in
Thou
those
bodies. Thou art welcome in this place.
In Jesus' name, you are healed. Say an amen and receive it. Come on, give a good clap offering to Jesus.
Jesus.
Either you can check now, or when you go home also you can check. If you're feeling a difference, let me just know. Lift your hands. Those who are been just prayed by the church, if you're feeling a difference in your hearing, just lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Acts chapter 3, 19. The presence of this glory is a place of refreshing ourselves. We get tired. Our body gets tired. Our soul gets tired. And we need to be refreshed. The first time I came to the United States, way back in 2011, we were driving down from San Francisco to Los Angeles. So I've never driven that long outside India. In India, like, there is now a concept called as the refreshment place, because everywhere you get shops, you can stop, you can drink juice and so on. But I was driving from California to the SFO to LA, there are no shops like India. All I see is a straight line road and no people also. So there are some places called resting place where you can get off the highways or the freeways, park your car. If you want to take bath, you can take a bath, go to the washrooms, put in your dollars on the vending machine, have some juice. So suddenly when you do that and when you come back, you feel refreshed, as if you can go a little bit longer. In the same way, many people give up on their spiritual lives because they don't understand in the presence of His glory, there is times of refreshing. Now, it is very easy for us to understand. You have used computers. How many of you have used computers? Not the iPad or the iPhone. Computers with keyboards. There is a button called as F5, function 5, and it is called as the refresh button. So normally, when something stops working, the first thing that a computer engineer would do is to bang on the refresh button. And if still that doesn't work, the second way is Control-Alt-Delete. If still that doesn't work, power the switch off. If the switch is not getting powered, unplug the power itself. Four ways of resetting everything. And when it starts, you'll be surprised. It works because the computer refreshed itself. If the computer is understanding the language of refreshing, how much more we, the born-again people, the sons and daughters of Jesus, there are times of refreshing coming from His presence in Jesus' name. Times of refreshing. Many of you are going to go back after the service refreshed in your spirit,
amen,
refreshed in your soul, even refreshed in your body. Today I have to minister in three services, two English service and one Spanish service. How do you do that? We refresh in our body, not by Tim Hortons decaf coffee. In the spirit, in the presence. So when we get onto the vehicle, when we are going to the next church, we put on the presence of God. For example, I was listening to my Sunday service back the morning. India is already ahead. India Sunday is over. So the Sunday service we had back in our church, the presence was moving very powerfully. A prophet was ministering in my church. We were listening to that for 1 hour and we came. We are refreshed. There is no pain of enduring in the hot sun of yesterday. There is no pain of standing and preaching yesterday. Bodies and souls,
amen,
get refreshed.
Amen.
I pray in Jesus' name. Many of you will be refreshed as we finish the service this evening. Two more things and I want to pray for all of us. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 21. The presence of God will help you to be watchful in Christian life and serve God. You know why many pastors deviated from the original call of God? Many pastors who were there, used by God, suddenly are deviated into many things. The reason is the focus went away from the presence of His glory and focused on other things where they became really tired. In India, some people say Western churches run on coffee and not on the presence. I pray let it change. Let it change. I was ministering in a church in the United States. The moment I went onto the stage, the pastor said, "You have 40 minutes. I said, "Well, 40 minutes is more than enough." And exactly when it was 40, the Holy Spirit was moving. People were crying, including his wife. Suddenly the pastor comes and stands behind me as if done. It's over. Now, well, I thought he wants to finish the service and go home so quickly. So I stepped down. I went. Now there was food being served. The food went on for the next 3 hours. Nobody's going home. You see the difference? The service is only 1.5 hours. And the food which we are serving in the church is running for 3 hours. Nobody wants to go home. Everybody's having a coffee, communion, eating together, fellowship. Well, that's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the presence. So that we become watchful, watchful in our spiritual life. There is an enemy behind us. Always remember not to be scared. Not to be scared. He has lost all the weapons on the cross. He does not have a weapon. But all he can do is puncture the tires of our cars. Because he's beneath our foot. All he can do is put a thread and make us strip down. But he wants us to be, Jesus wants us to be more than conquerors. That's why the Bible says, "Now may the God of peace soon crush Satan, your enemy, not under the feet of Jesus, under your feet." So being watchful as a church, being watchful as a presence-oriented one is always very necessary. That's where the pastor role comes into play. That's where the board really comes into play. Pastors and board are not just to approve decisions, to take spirit-led decisions.
Amen.
I normally, when I sit with our board and my associate pastors, I have 5 associate pastors with me. When I sit with them, all of them will have good ideas. For example, let's take boxing. We heard about boxing today. So I normally tell in my board and my church, Let that not be more than 15% of our efforts in the church. Whether it's sports, recreation, charity, everything, 15%, 85% should be only His presence, ministry, and being watchful in the presence. Only then this house will be called as the house of prayer. Jesus said, my house is not the church. Jesus never said the church is His house. Jesus said, my house, let it be called as the house of prayer. You know why God sent revival to our church, touching more than 3 million people? Because every day, Monday to Friday, we used to come together in the evening and sit in His presence, worship, pray, and it is broadcasting online. Every day there is a broadcast. It is tough for me as a pastor. I want a break, I can say, God, 2 days at least in a week, I want a break. But when I looked at my life of my Lord Jesus Christ, He never had a break for 3.5 years. Apostle Paul never had a break. Every day they ministered. Day and night the priests are to minister in the temple of God. How much more we who have the wonderful system of ministering more than what we can do. I pray this church, the lighthouse, will become the presence of His glory. The presence of His glory. The presence of His glory. Presence of His glory. I am believing this morning as I was praying, I don't know whether somebody is here, the Holy Spirit was telling me, days will come when God will send people from many nations. They might have come to see the Niagara Falls, but when they search up for a church nearby, not just because the church is physically nearby, the Holy Spirit will attract people to this church.
Yes.
To be visitors, to come and experience the presence of
Hallelujah.
His glory and then go back. In the name of Jesus, receive it over this church. I'm going to pray for all of you. Are you ready to be a presence carrier? Are you ready to manifest His presence? It is all about His presence. We need the worship. We need the word. We need everything in the church. But let that not overtake His presence in the church. That is why John the Baptist said, let I decrease and He increase. Every activity of us decrease and He increase and increase and increase. Because it is all about Jesus and Jesus and Jesus alone. Every eye closed. We're going to pray for the next 5 minutes. May the Holy Spirit make us the presence of His glory. For You are glorious, and You're worthy
to be praised. You're the Lamb upon
Paul says, You are the vessels of mercy prepared beforehand for His glory in Romans 9:23. This morning, many of you are coming to the revelation that you are going to be the vessel of the presence of His glory.
You're the Lamb upon the throne.
For You are glorious. For You are
glorious.
Desire it, church.
And You're worthy to
more than anything else.
Praised. You're the Lamb upon the throne, and unto You we lift our voice in prayer. You're the Lamb upon the throne.
With pastor's permission, is it okay that we all come together close to the altar to pray together? If you feel the leading of the Holy Spirit that you want to be a presence carrier in this generation. David was a presence carrier. I was so happy when I heard the word David's harp, and I was touched by the way that this wonderful man played the pianos. We loved it. That's it. That's the worship. It is not about our talent. It's for His presence to come. And the Bible says, In the end time, he will raise up the fallen tent of King David. It's all about worship. Come forward. Come forward.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.